Hello, thank you for visiting Crossroad International Church, a Christian community in the heart of Kuwait consisting of believers from dozens of countries around the world. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. We hope you're blessed by the message this morning.
Serve in the church in some way. I did a pastoral internship myself in the summers. And then, you know, one of the first churches, I said, I want to join a small group. He said, that's great. We don't have one. Why don't you lead one? And I did. And for about 6 months, it was only four people. And then in time, God continued to bless it and grow it into nearly 30 people. Until we had to do something because it was becoming, people could not fit in my house anymore. At that point, I also decided to, we started this church in 2016. I was one of the four original leaders, elders that started this. Just an idea. Like, what if we did something that we could have an extended time of fellowship? You know, because if you go to the Neck, which is a great church, it believes in Jesus, but because there's so many services, it's like back to back. And I've been there for a couple of years. I was like, I am not meeting any people. I'm not fellowshipping. I'm not growing. I don't know anybody because it's like 15 minutes the next service starts. So how can you really fellowship? So just five people, myself included, praying. I started getting involved. I preach occasionally. Many different buildings, from the Best Western to some crazy old building with a very dated near the Avenues Mall. And we finally ended up at the Symphony. It's like things are well, things are great. When COVID happened, that all ended. Many people, if you survived COVID in Kuwait, it was not easy, and the church had to be online. And most of the people in the church, like there's a handful of people I know from before COVID, but most of you don't because everyone left. It's like, this is extreme, right? A lot of people are like, we're done. We can't do this anymore. We want to go home and like not be locked into our buildings 22 hours a day. That's just too much. And the other pastors who were on tourist visas, like, we have to go because they ended that programming, and it kind of fell to me. It was something I applied for, but it was like, well, you're the last of the original four people. It's you or the church closes. I was like, well, okay, I guess I'll give them my best. And we did, and we moved back to the Symphony. And actually, I had my fleece moment. It was either about 10 people. I said, if in 3 months it doesn't grow beyond 10 people, we'll just keep it as a small group. And the church will end, and there's always other churches to find. You know, we're not the only church here. And God answered that prayer and grew it and continued to grow it every year. We grew and expanded, and I began preaching more regularly. I preached before occasionally, which is not the same as preaching every week. I also finished around the time of COVID, finished a theological studies degree. And it grew from a handful of people to what I see in front of me, 80 plus people. That's amazing. 20 plus kids, so many kids. So why am I saying all this? I want to talk a little bit about our values, our vision, and our mission as a church. It's a new year. I don't preach this message very often, but it's probably good for us to know as a body who we are and what we believe. Amen. So the question is why? Like, why do we need to have vision or values or mission? Why can't we just do what the disciples did? Why can't we just do it as we put the plan together as we go? And we did that for many years. But at some point, we said we should have something on paper that defines who we are. And here's a couple of verses that back up that point. Proverbs 29:18 says this. It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. It's a prophetic vision. In Isaiah 30:21 says, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." In Ephesians, Matthew mentioned this, 2:10, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we're talking about the vision, the right way, the good works for Crossroad International Church. What are they? So our mission statement is this. If you've never heard this, being so much turnover that probably most of you haven't, if you, you have. Our mission statement is this. Crossroad International Church exists to model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus among all nations. And that's also our vision. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. And that's our motto as well. We want to be people who model. I could pray this morning before church, we have prayer, and they said, you know, we are might be the only Jesus people ever see. Right? So we want to model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. So that's what we believe as a church. And we have several core values. But first, I want to talk about our name. Why are we called Crossroad International Church? Well, first, we want to cross at the beginning of the name, right? We want to be, as a church, laser-focused on the cross of Jesus Christ, right? The place where God's love and justice meet, right? So to briefly get this to you, because I know there's a lot of new people in here. God made, I said this last week, and I said this many weeks, but I want to make sure that it's clear to everyone. God made us in his image. He made us like him to love and to serve him and to govern over the creation. And we had harmony in relationship with God, with each other, and with the earth. Amen. Just imagine what that was like. However, we disobeyed God's work. God said, don't do this one thing. And we did the one thing, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? And because we disobeyed, God is perfect and holy. And when we disobey and sin, which is the meaning of disobedience, missing the mark, he cannot tolerate sin. So he kicked us out of the garden of perfection. He said, in that he will surely die. And we didn't physically die immediately, but we spiritually died. Our relationship with God was broken. Right? It said in Genesis that we walked with God in the cool of the garden. Right? Like I'm a friend of God. Adam and Eve were the friends of God. They could see him. They knew him. And that was severed when sin happened, because it said much late, not maybe five chapters later, people began to call on the name of the Lord. These people were missing God. They knew something was different in their lives. Because we wanted our own, the basic idea of sin, of disobedience, is we want life our own way. I want life my own way, by my own rules, without accountability to anybody. You agree with me? So there's something in our hearts. Even now, as a believer, there's this desire in me that still exists, which I put to death regularly, but still there. This is, I don't want to do what other people want me to do. I want to do what I want to do. Right? Parents, you know this, because I haven't done what I wanted to do in many years. You know, I do what other people want me to do and need me to do. And that is the essence of disobedience. That's what we feel towards God. That connection with God was broken. That connection with each other was broken, right? God told Eve, you know, he will rule over you. Your desire will be for him, against him. Right? So the relationship between man and the woman were broken. And that's why in the next generation, Cain killed his brother Abel, right? And then with the earth, he says, from thorns and thistles until you go back into the dust of the earth, it will be hard labor for you to provide for yourself. And we know this. We all had worked. That's why we're here in Kuwait. And there's time for work is wonderful. But there's other times where it's not fruitful. It's futile. And it's frustrating. And it's difficult. And you're so exhausted. That's part of the curse of disobeying God. However, God had a plan. He wanted to return us back to him. And through many different seasons of the church history, through Abraham, God was, I'm going to call you a people, my own people. And it grew and it came. And then David, after they found the land, said, you're going to be my greatest king. Even though he's the greatest king, he was also a sinner. He slept with another woman and killed the husband. Not a wonderful person. The prophets, all the prophets, Isaiah I read from, Jonah, just all the prophets in the Old Testament, all doing the same thing, saying, come back to God. Right? The essence of what the prophet saying, come back to God. Live in accordance with his word and his will. Otherwise, there will be judgment. And in those prophets, they've also promised a Messiah who would come and restore and turn the hearts of the people back to their God. And that was displayed in Jesus, who was born 2,000 years ago, a man who lived a perfect, sinless life, who healed. Right, there's power in the name of Jesus. There is healing in his name, as we say. Right, a man who healed everyone he came into contact with, healed and loved and prayed and obeyed God. Oh, he says, I always listen to the voice of my Father. As a believer, I sometimes listen to the voice of God. Other times, I don't. But he did perfectly. And why did he live perfectly? Well, he was going to be a perfect sacrifice. As the Old Testament talked multiple times about sacrifice for sin. Because like I said, sin is disobedience and it's ugly and it costs something. And it would kill rams and goats and bulls and doves to show the horrendous. They're just a barbaric people. They're just like us. But to show this is what sin costs, it costs blood. Well, animals don't have any moral will. But Jesus did. He willingly, right? He says, I lay down my life and I can take up my life. So he laid down his life and died on a cross, as the first word in our name, for our sins, suffering not only physical torment, but spiritual separation from God. He looked at Jesus and saw all the sin of Chris, all the sin of all the people in this world who believe in him, is that I will take their punishments. So God poured out his wrath deserved for me onto him. And he suffered, and then he died for our sins because he was the morally perfect sacrifice for the evil that I do, that we do. So when God looks at us, if you are a believer in Jesus, he doesn't see what you've done. What he sees in you is the perfect life of his son, Jesus. I think there's somebody here who needs to hear that. You maybe are filled with shame because we all sin. Maybe sins of our past or patterns of sin. Brokenness and addiction. And because Lauren said, I also feel the Holy Spirit saying, yes, God wants us to change. He wants change to be broken. But to be clear, when God looks at you as a believer, he sees the perfect life of Jesus. That's your identity. That's who you are. That perfect light is what he sees in us. And he restores that right relationship with God. So when I pray to God, I am praying to the King of Kings, not to the ceiling. And he's restoring the relationship not just with God, but with one another. We're reconciling to each other. with the earth. You know, our job is, yes, there's still thorns and thistles, as it says in Genesis, but we can see the redemption in what we do and what we work. And that will continue until one day sin will be eradicated and we will all be fully healed and restored forever. Amen. Oh, it's emotional. Sorry. So that's why the cross is what would be the first thing in our name when people hear it. We're also a crossroad. That's why we're called Crossroad. Kuwait is a crossroad in people's lives. Most people come here for 2 to 5 or 6 years. Those people like me who've been here significantly longer than that. Some people were born here. But it's still a crossroad in people's lives. People come here for many reasons, for money, for opportunity, for adventure. But it's also a spiritual crossroad people are at, right? Because most people will not be in Kuwait forever, right? You can't retire here unless you are a local. And you have a tremendous opportunity here. It can be as clear as it can, no matter how long you were here, for 6 more months or 6 more years, you have a tremendous opportunity to draw people closer or further from God, to draw yourself closer or further from God. I have seen people who are sitting in the back, nominal Christian, become worship leaders, become missionaries, become pastors, become small group leaders. God can do an amazing work in your life. And I could give testimonies all day from people in this church who have stepped up and served and served this church and served the kingdom of God. I've also seen people shipwreck their faith. Right? Say, well, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm in Kuwait. My parents aren't here. I can, you know, I'll do rugby on the weekend. I'll come to church when it's convenient for me. And I've seen people just become far away from God during their time in Kuwait. Far away. So make your time here count as you're at a crossroads in your life, no matter how long you are here for. Church, your life in Kuwait is more than making money and marking out time. And that's maybe why you came here. Maybe you came here for a good job and to make money, but that is not why God has you here if you are one of his people. God has you here for a much greater, you know, yes, I am absolutely aware that work is hard. You do a lot of hours. I'm not discounting that at all. But God does have you here for a greater and higher and more beautiful purpose than just your work. God has his work that he wants you to do here. We are not just here for making money. We should pray and ask God, what do you want me to be doing here? There is a harvest for those who labor for his kingdom, right? Jesus said this. The fields are white for harvest. God send out laborers to enter his field. There is a generation of people who are looking for something. Don't deceive yourself that, yes, they might have this facade of extreme faithfulness, but they are just, they don't know who God is. They don't see God. They don't feel God. And they're looking for something. So be part of that harvest, labor. You all interact with people who don't believe. I do too. We need to share and love and care for them so they can feel the value of Jesus and be transformed. We're also an international church. What does that mean? It means that we are people, and I look around the room, of different cultural, ethnic, linguistic, and theological backgrounds under Christ, right? We are all different. We are under Jesus Christ. And I'll talk more about that in one of our core values in just a moment. And the church. Well, the church can mean different things in the Bible, right? Church, first of all, means all Christians everywhere in all times. That's the global capital C church. right? All people who have ever believed in Jesus from our time and from previous times into the future. That's his people. But also, he refers to local bodies. If you look in the New Testament, when Paul or John writes to churches, he's speaking to specific local bodies of believers. Right, so that's what we are. We are a specific local body of believers in a particular time and location. So that's what we are as a church. Matthew 6:18, I said this as I was praying. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. So there's many ministries in Kuwait and beyond, and they have value, they're great. But the only one he promises the gates of hell will not prevail against is the church. So this is vitally important. Now I'm preaching to the choir. You're all here, sitting, looking, smiling at me. But to be aware, this is not some sort of like thing you do once a month or optional. This is Jesus himself said, this is my church, this is how I'm going to build it. This is how you're safe. This is how we advance the kingdom of God. It's through this people, you people, us. We're a Protestant church. So that means we believe in the authority of the Bible. We have personal faith. It's about Christ's work. It's about grace. We're also an evangelical church. We know what that means. It means it has a couple different aspects. It means people need a personal, radical change and conversion into Christ. Like you pray and you say, we're all born not Christian. Doesn't matter what your card says. You need to have a change of your heart to become a believer. Evangelical also means you have a high regard for the Bible. The Bible is God's word. We also believe in the penal substitutionary atonement. What I said was, in the beginning, is that the atonement, what did Jesus do to make us right with him? Is through the suffering of Jesus, he was penalized as a substitute for my sin. So as we get a tribal party, but we believe penal substitutionary atonements. That's the atonement that God wants us to have. That's what the Bible said. Jesus was a substitute, and he was punished. He's penalized in my place for my sins. And evangelical also means the sharing of faith personally through witness and engaging the community and the world. We're also non-denominational. We're not affiliated officially with any other local denomination. However, we do have a developing relationship with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, because they want to walk alongside us. I don't think it's always safe to be an island. So we want to receive this healing and hope that Jesus provides, be transformed, and be revived, be restored, both once and weekly and daily. And then we go out into the world and share that hope with others. That's the model. That's who we are. Right? We receive that healing and hope. We transform. We bring that healing and hope to everyone we meet in Kuwait. Jesus said, you received freely, give without payments, right? We receive freely from Jesus, and we should share with others about Jesus freely as well. He gives hope that transforms lives, that leads to eternal life. Right? What we all need is eternal life, because we're all going to the same place otherwise. We're all going to the grave sooner or later. Right? But Jesus says there is hope beyond that. There is resurrection. Jesus showed it himself. He says, I'm going to lead my people through death into life forever with him. So God has called you to more than money. God has called you to be a part of his kingdom. What are you doing? What are we doing to advance his kingdom as believers, as a church? How are you leveraging your work, your friends, your money for the kingdom of God? Right? That's what its stewardship is. Stewardship, does that say this is mine? We're using what God's entrusted to us for a time, so none of us can take it with us, to expand his kingdom. If God has called you to CIC, now there's new faces, maybe this is not your church, maybe you're just exploring churches, that's totally fine. But if you are part of this church, I want to encourage you to make sure you come. Come every Friday. Serve regularly. And many of you do. I'm not saying anything against anybody, but if you're not serving in some capacity, do so. And to give of your tithes and your offerings to support this ministry. Doesn't run on fairy dust, unfortunately. The symphony requires payments, right? Not just spiritual payment, but monetary payments, right? And God calls us to do that, right? If you look at Jesus talked more about money than heaven and earth combined. Heaven and hell combined, right? So money is, because God says where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So if your heart is for this church, your treasure should be for this church. So I want to encourage you, if you are part of this, to do these things. Come, give, serve. Values. We're an international ministry. Like I said, I got to move faster now. Few churches are truly international. We have American, Indian, Filipino, South Africans, British, Africans, South Americans. Say again, everybody. Okay. We strive to maintain this multicultural idea of the church or the New Testament, right? If you look at Acts 11, do we have that scripture? I want to read this and then talk about it. Okay. Now, to those who are scattered because of the, this is Acts 11. Now, to those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who were on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So, I'll stop there. So, in Acts 11, God shows a vision to Peter, you know, of all kinds of food. And God said, and Peter said, I'm not going to eat anything unclean. He says, no, rise, Peter, kill and eat. They have this three times. Right? Then he preaches to a Gentile centurion who believes. And then after that, Stephen, one of the first deacons, he is murdered and people were scattered. Obviously, persecution, people scattered all over the known world in Turkey at the time. So people travel to Cyprus, modern-day Lebanon, and Turkey. Now, most preached only to Judean Jews. However, some people, from this passage, they preached to the Hellenists. Now, these are Greek-speaking and culturally Greek Jews. They were Jews, but their worldview was integrated with Greek Jewish converts. And they also believed, if you look at the Gospel of John, that's what the Logos in the beginning, this is a Greek idea that he was trying to communicate to the people of God, saying, you know, Logos meant word and manifest and rationality and the understanding of who God is through rational thought. And Jesus says the word was with God and the Logos was God. Right? So even you see John doing this and you see these people here speaking to Greek culturally, Greek worldview Jewish people and they believe. Right? Enough to start a church. Paul and Barnabas taught them about Christ for a year and the church in Antioch was born. That was the first international church. We had Judean Jews, Palestinian Jews, and Greek-speaking Jews together. That was the first international church, and we're part of that tradition. That's what they were first called, Christians. No, it's just a sect of Judaism. So here we had people from various ethnic, linguistic, and theological backgrounds united in Christ. And my questions for us are this. Are you just fellowshipping with people from your own culture? Who are you reaching out to? Now, I'm not saying it's wrong, people in your own culture, because this is easier. You know, sometimes you want to break from international English and everything, that the baggage that comes with multiple culture relating. But Revelation says very clear that there will be people from every tribe, language, and tongue worshiping at the feet of Jesus. So if we're not making some effort, we're not doing something right. Especially in here. Right? The central truths of the gospel, as I explained before. But we also have a range of maybe differing views on secondary issues. Right? That's part of what international church is. Maybe you have different usage of your different understanding and usage of the Holy Spirit's gifts or of church governance. Or the style of worship, and that's okay. Those are secondary issues. We're united under who we are as our identity in Christ. Also, understand that there are no missionary, there are no religious visas in Kuwait. So that means if it's up to us to be sharing the gospel with those who we meet, especially from unreached backgrounds, right? Men in the first century, people had to cross a culture, like we saw in this story, right? Cross the culture to share Jesus in the first century, and the same is true today. This is part of your calling. It's part of my calling. Because if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. It is from us. We are the people of God. They will not hear Jesus unless we share it with them. Biblical reality. The Bible tells us about Jesus, right? His sacrifice for our sins, the international nature of the church. So we believe as a church that the highest source of truth about God and man is the Bible. That the Bible has authority over us as believers in every area of our lives. We also believe that it's inerrant, that the original manuscripts handed down to us are without error. And this is truly backed up by Scripture. 2 Timothy 3 says this, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So God's words being spoken through human authors are perfect. And we know this because God's words are timeless, so they're always timely for us. Yes, of course, it's not just information, but it's to experience transformation as you read the word. If you're a believer, as you read the word, the Holy Spirit will infuse that to give you understanding, just as the first disciples. So all believers should be regularly reading their Bibles. We should all be reading. This is the easiest way to know God's will and plan for your life is through the written word of God. You can read, you can listen, you can study, you can meditate, you can pray the Bible. And in our church, we mostly preach books of the Bible. We've done Matthew, Ruth, Philippians, Jonah, 1 Peter, Nehemiah, Ephesians, Hebrew, Esther, James, Daniel, and in 2 weeks we will start 1 John. Because we want people to know and benefit from the whole counsel of God, right? The whole counsel of God. So yes, we're doing some off thing before the fast, and we have occasional topical, but we mostly preach through books of the Bible. Also, authentic fellowship. This is an integral part of CIC. Yes, the worship and the preaching is important, but the church is about the people, not the four walls here. All the one another's in Acts and beyond, to love, be devoted, to honor one another, build up one another, care for one another, admonish one another, serve one another, bear the burdens of one another, submit to one another, comfort one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. You need others, right? This is not a private thing that you do. You can't do those things without other people. These are spoken to people, bodies of believers, to churches. And we do this as we spend time together. So please come early, stay after. There's no need to rush for the door. Now, I know there's some reasons that, you know, you may have another thing happening after the service, so I'm not judging you. But if you've never stayed after the service, I never even talked to you, maybe loosen up your schedule a little bit, right? Fellowship is part of what it means to be a believer. It's helping you pray for and serve one another if you don't know each other. Connect with other people, especially guests. There are people in this room who are new, and I hope to Jesus that I'm not the only one who've said hi to them. Because that's wrong. If we're going to fellowship, we need to know, be kind to one another. Right? The hands and feet of Jesus. And we as members need to be the person reaching out to those people. It's not just me. I can't do it. We have First Friday events, right? We have lunch every first Friday of the month. And yes, there's reason why people can't come. But if you've never been, come. We're all going to eat lunch anyway. Come and connect with people at a deeper level. Every first Friday of the month, we do this. Yes, I know there's occasional other activities we have to do, but there's people I've never seen there. We should also have some friends. Some of our friends should be in the church. This is not just a drive-through McDonald's experience where you come on a Friday and you're out by 11:30. Right? That's not how it should be. And yes, it takes effort. I understand that. Yes, our lives are busy, but we make time for what we value. And as believers, we need to value fellowship. Transforming discipleship. Man, I'm so close to the end of the time. We're a Great Commission church. We're about making disciples. We want to be helped. We need to be helped and encouraged and help others and encourage others. Life groups is our primary way as a church that we do this, to experience and get involved in discipleship. And next week, we'll start advertising for the life groups for the spring. I think most are starting or will be starting. Learn from mature believers, ask questions, help encourage others. This is the main way that people are discipled. As you're in this, obviously on a Friday morning, it's crazy, right? But born after. I might get to talk to five or six people, mostly about stuff, church stuff. But in a life group, you can kind of slow down a little bit. We'll also be restarting our third millennium ministries about theological training. So if you have questions or want to get involved, net see me. It's kind of a more rigorous theological, biblical training that we have. So how are you being discipled? Right? Do you have someone, hopefully from this church, as a spiritual father, mother, older brother or sister? Someone who knows you and you've given authority to speak into your life? As the word says very clearly, that in abundance of counselors, there is wisdom. And I see people, especially in this country, who never asked for any input into decisions, and they just make these terrible decisions. And I've seen so many over the years. They don't ask me, so I just kind of watch their lives burn. You know, if they ask me, I'll give them my thoughts. But you should have somebody in your life speaking into decisions you make. Especially another Christian who has eternal view. There should be people in your life that you can talk to and say, hey, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? If you have nobody like that, Find somebody. Talk to me. Okay? Talk to anybody. Have a teachable spirit, right? That's one of the things that make people good leaders. They have a teachable spirit. They're always willing to learn. And then who are you pouring into? Number six is community outreach, right? We are witnesses. We need to be sharing the truth of Christ all over us. So we need to be sharing and be ambassadors for Christ, not just individually, but as a church. You know, the Christmas outreach that we do every year, that is a wonderful opportunity to serve the community, right? We're actually giving to there's many poor people, poor workers in Kuwait, and as you give those bags out with the invitation to church, that is wonderful. We also support missions and help throughout the world. We've helped supported sex workers in Thailand, earthquake victims in Syria, Muslims in the USA, individuals doing ministry in India. We would love to do more, though. And I'm open to ideas. If you have ways we can serve this community, I'm very open to that, especially if you're willing to lead that. Amen? So we need people to reach others. How can we be, my question is, how can we be a blessing to the community as a church? I want people to say, non-believers to say, the church is a blessing to us, even if we don't believe what they believe. We need to get there somehow. Effective prayer. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit and the Word, yes. But God wants to hear from us. He is sovereign. But the Psalms show people crying out to God for help and deliverance. He wants to know what is going on in your life, even though he knows everything. We should be pouring our heart out to Jesus, just like any relationship. God also answers prayer. He doesn't just listen, right? He is the most powerful being in existence, and he can change your circumstances in this world, right? Way more effective than our own efforts, right? It says, there's great power in prayer while it's working. It says that in James. And we value prayer at CIC. If you have prayer requests, which we will do at the end of this service and every Friday, join with me in prayer. Me and the leaders would be happy to pray for you. Why not have others join you? Fill out the QR code, right? Come up after the service. Where is your prayer light? White at home. Hopefully it's existent. Reading the Bible and praying are both important. It's how we communicate with God, our heart, and what he wants. We do prayer every week before the service around, 9:35, 9:40. Every week. It's not just for people who serve. Anybody can come. We'll just pray for the service and pray for things. Prayer is important at CIC, and we're doing other things. There's other groups. If you need more prayer than we do on our Friday, see me, see Garth. He's one of the people that does intercessory prayer in our church. We would love to pray for you on a more long-term basis. Finally, powerful worship. The Book of Psalms testifies to music as worship being a critical component to Jewish and Christian faith. Right? Worship is about absorbing and reflecting the truths about God in the songs that we sing. Right? It's not just a filler or a time waster for the preaching to happen. Right? And you're not just coming. I mean, I see this and people just sitting there looking at the screen and nothing's coming out of their mouths. Their mouths aren't even moving. I try not to look, but sometimes I do. That's what happens. No, we are singing these songs, some that Loring led in the team. These are true things about God from the Word of God that we are reflecting in our hearts and hopefully having emotions. Not always. Sometimes I feel like a zombie when I come in here. But you have real feelings when we're doing, the last song we did, King of Kings. This is a great song. It's powerful. It's real. It's truth in the Bible. So don't just come for the information, for the preaching, or for the free food afterwards, but align yourselves in your heart to the biblical truths through music. There is no replacement for singing to God and worshiping corporately. There's no replacement for that. You can't do that on a podcast at your house, right? To come to church and sing songs to God. So sing loud, and it's okay to use your bodies, right? By moving, lifting your hands. I said this before, but lifting your hands is a sign of surrender, right? When I'm singing, I surrender myself to God as I'm singing to Him. And being passionate with God, okay? I mean, how much have we yelled and cheered at a sports game or at a meal, but not given that to the Lord? You don't need to be a great singer. I'm a terrible singer. I make sure the knee buttons are on when it's sing time. But I try to sing as loud as I can to God to connect with Him in that way. That's another way God wants our hearts. Don't be someone who comes late every week and miss a ton of the worship. Right? I know people, not saying anybody in here, but there's people that like they're definitely coming 30 minutes late every single Friday. Not from this church I'm sitting in my previous life. But it's like, why are you here? Like, this is the most important. I think the worship is the most important part. Get here early. Prepare your heart for worship and the work. As we conclude, Ben, you can come up. We have the statement of faith, which is the Nicene Creed, and I just want to encourage you to read that on your own. But it is something that's been in the church history since 325 AD. So it's clear, it's biblical. All people who believe in Jesus are included, but heretics are not included in this. Okay? So we want to live out the teachings of Christ. We want to receive the unconditional love and hope from Jesus and give it to others. We want to be united people, even though there are different cultures, and serve all those who come in through our doors. The Bible is our anchor and is authoritative as the Word of God. We want to foster deep connection through fellowship as the family of God, life groups and other trainings to be disciples and make disciples. We want to reach this community and this world as the hands and feet of Christ. We pray to communicate to God and watch Him work. And we believe that worship through music is an important way to know and honor God through our songs and our bodies. Let's model the unconditional love and life-giving hope. Would you stand up on your feet and I will pray? Sorry, a few minutes over, but we'll do the last song and be done. God, thank you so much for my friends and my family here. Thank you that we are the church. Thank you for this body of believers, Crossroad International Church. I pray that you bless and enable and empower each one to receive from you, and then to also empower them to go out into this world to be Christ among the nations here at Kuwait. We love you, Jesus. Bless us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crossroads International Church. If you have questions about how to pray for, give, or get involved with CIC, visit www.cickuwait.com or check out our Instagram and Facebook account at CICQA. Have a blessed day.